Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And greetings to you from your brothers and sisters in Christ from the Lutheran Church in Pszczyna, Poland. Today, we finish out our summer sermon series on the Book of Proverbs. It's my hope and prayer that as we have read through the Book of Proverbs together, as we have preached through it this summer, that God has strengthened your faith and encouraged you as you've seen the wisdom of God on display in all of these varied aspects of our lives. Today we come to the last thing about which wisdom speaks for our series, which is money. And the proverb for today is a bit of an odd one in that it comes in the form of a prayer. Two things I ask of you, deny them not to me before I die. Remove far from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. It's a bit of an odd proverb when you stop to think about it. Give us neither poverty, okay. I think we can all nod our heads in agreement with that. No one wants to live in need. But the prayer, that proverb, doesn't end there. It goes on, give me neither poverty nor riches. Now that one is a little more difficult. If you haven't prayed for riches yourself at some point, I'm willing to bet that if you stumbled into them, your reaction, hopefully, would be to praise God for them. And yet the writer of this proverb encourages us to pray, give me neither poverty nor riches. And he goes on to explain himself. He goes on to explain why. Give me neither poverty, lest I be poor and steal and so profane the name of my God, nor riches, lest I be full and say, who is the Lord? So could you pray this prayer? Would you pray this prayer? I hope that you both could and would. Because the underlying thought behind this proverb, it was so important that Jesus included it in the Lord's Prayer when his disciples asked him to teach them how to pray. He included the thought that was behind this proverb in that petition, give us this day our daily bread. We pray that every week as a body of Christ. Christians around the world pray that prayer every week. And that petition, give us this day our daily bread. It has its echo in these words of this proverb. Feed me with that which is needful for me. In praying that prayer and that petition in that way, we're asking that God would provide for us what we need for each day and that day alone. We aren't saying, God, give me half of what I need for today so that I can supply the other half. Neither are we saying, God, give me twice as much or 10 times as much as I need for today so I can store away the rest for a rainy day. Instead, we're encouraged to pray for what we need for that day and that day alone. In that way, we learn to trust God as he continually provides for those daily needs each and every day. We also learn, hopefully, to be content. To be content with what God has given to us. Not to always be seeking for that next thing that we wish was ours. So the wisdom in this proverb is that anything more and anything less quickly leads to trouble where money and our intentions with it is concerned. Leo Tolstoy once wrote a short story that dealt with one half of this proverb. It was called, How Much Land Does a Man Need? And in it, he tells the story of a wealthy landowner, a peasant farmer, who wasn't content with what he had. So one day, this peasant farmer, he had received this novel offer for $1,000, he could own all the land that he could walk around in a day. It didn't take him long to think about that offer before he quickly accepted went to bed early that night so that he could wake up first thing in the morning ready to walk. And he did. First thing in the morning, just before the sun began to rise over the hills on his farm, he woke up, and as he set out, he began to walk briskly. He walked briskly until about midday when he stopped for a short lunch. And then he continued on his way. Even though he was tired, by midday, he realized that his greed had taken him far from where he had begun, and so he quickened his pace again, began jogging. As the afternoon grew long, as the sun began to set, he broke into a run, fearing that he wouldn't make it back to his farm before the day was up. He feared that his chance of owning more land, of increasing his farm, increasing his profits, that chance would be gone. And as the sun began to sink, the last few rays over the hills of his farm, he broke into a dead sprint, ran all out with everything that he had. And he crossed the boundary line of his farm just before the sun set. He gave a cry of joy and collapsed. His family ran to his side to lift him up. They discovered that he was dead. They dug his grave. 6 feet from his head to feet was all the land that he needed. Now this story, it mirrors the story that Jesus tells in our gospel lesson for today, the parable of the rich fool. At its heart, it's a story about our desire for things, for more things than we already have. It's a story about where our discontentment ultimately leads. And it's a story about how much value the things that we prize so highly in this world often have. Now, often a good story is able to be a better teacher than a book hundreds of pages long on the same subject. And the same holds true for the stories that Jesus told. The unfortunate thing is, as we hear these parables of Jesus, it can be an uncomfortable experience because all too often we can hear those parables and see glimpses of ourselves reflected back in them. And that can be really uncomfortable depending on what parable it is that we're talking about. It's especially uncomfortable for me, this parable of the rich fool, as I hear it again. Because I can see myself in him. I can empathize with this guy. I mean, after all, he wasn't a cheat. He wasn't a thief. He wasn't even especially greedy. He was simply a guy who worked hard and he was successful. If the story ended there, it would be the quintessential example of the American dream, a guy who had worked hard and been successful, more successful than he could have ever imagined. But the parable doesn't end there. See, his mistake, the rich fool's mistake, it centers around not so much the amount of wealth he had accumulated. It wasn't the stuff that he had gained for himself or his money. His real mistake was around his attitude towards it. And that's also where we run into danger as well. See, it's easy for us, and I know this has happened to me before, to catch myself thinking, if I just had this, you fill in the blank, then I would be happy, then I would be content, then everything would be okay, all right, in my life. The rich fool's mistake was in thinking that if he just had a little more, then he could be free, independent, and relaxed. He could be independent of his need of others, his need of need itself, independent of his need of God. And it's tempting sometimes to think those same things. You pull open the bank account to pay some bills and you think, man, if I just had this much, then I could sit back and relax and enjoy the life that God has given me. Or we look to the future and we think, you know, if I was able to just have this much saved up for my kids' college, then I could be content and at peace with my life in the world? Or we think, you know, if I was able to just put this much away every month for retirement, then I could stop worrying about the future, and then I could really enjoy the life and the things that God has given me. See, one of the great dangers in this quest for riches, for money, for wealth, is that it's a quest that never ends. It's a quest that finds its end in the same end of the rich fool. Even if you get it, you'll die. And everything you've worked for, everything you've saved for, everything you've hoped for will be gone. It's like a mirage in the desert or the end of a rainbow. It's tantalizingly close, but it's infinitely far away. This is why Paul writes to Timothy in our epistle reading for today that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Now, a lot of times, unfortunately, people have shortened that phrase or that proverb to money itself is the root of all kinds of evil, but it is not. Money itself, and please understand, money itself is neutral. It's neither good nor evil. But it's what we do with wealth, and it's what we do with money, it's what we do with the things of this world, and it's what they do to us often that makes it either good or bad. Jesus would go on later in the gospel to say that, "Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." He said this after this parable of the rich fool. "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." What Jesus is saying there is, look, God has something of unimaginable worth that he's giving to you. Not that you have to buy, not that you have to work for, but that he is offering to you free of charge. Your inheritance in God's kingdom. It's something that even if every billionaire alive this morning were to pool all of their resources together, with all of their money, with all of their wealth and riches, they couldn't buy a square foot of real estate in this kingdom of God. And yet Jesus offers it freely. This is why Jesus responds to the man who came up to him in the crowd and said, "Teacher, compel my brother, tell him to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus tells this stark parable as almost a slap in the face to wake this guy up, to realize that what he's running after, the half of his father's inheritance that he believes should be his, that in the end, it means nothing. What he should be running after is the teacher who's standing right before him, the very one who can offer him a share in the inheritance of God's kingdom. See, imagine Jesus telling this parable, but telling it a different way. Instead of telling it from the standpoint of the parable of the rich fool, telling it from the standpoint of the viewpoint of someone who, instead of being foolish with how he dealt with money and riches, one who was wise. It might go something like this. Once there was a man who was richly blessed by God. Figuratively speaking, everything he touched turned to gold. After another incredible windfall, he sat back and thought to himself, "What am I going to do with all this money?" And then an idea came to him. He called in his accountants and his managers, and he said to them, "I have been richly blessed beyond almost anyone that I know. And now I've thought of a way that God can increase those blessings. I want you to take all that I own, except for what I need to live on, and put it in a charitable foundation. And every year, half of the profits from that foundation will be used to feed the poor. The other half will go to help prisoners leave a life of crime." And then the rich man who became poor said to himself, "I've been blessed in my life beyond anything I could have ever imagined. And now God has blessed me even more." And God said to him, "My son, you have many good things stored up for you. Come, rest in the joy of your Father." Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's tempting. It's probably one of the biggest temptations that we face to seek after money, to seek after wealth and riches and things. It's tempting not to be content with what God has already given us, but to always seek after the next thing that we want and desire. Don't allow that quest for money and riches to blind you to the things that God has given you, which no amount of money can buy. Gifts like your family and your friends. Gifts like time itself, the time here on this earth, and the greatest gift of all, the gift of your inheritance in God's kingdom, a gift which Jesus offers free of charge. I pray that you would make the prayer of this proverb your own. Please pray with me now. Heavenly Father, two things that we ask of you. Deny them not to us before we die. Remove far from us falsehood and lying. Give us neither poverty nor riches. Feed us with the food that is needful for us, lest we be full and deny you and say, "Who is the Lord?" Or lest we be poor and steal and profane the name of our God. Jesus, we thank you for all of the blessings that you have given to us here. Allow us not to become blinded to those great gifts by lack of content. Give us contentment with the things that you've given to us here for our needs each day. In Jesus' name, amen.